Now, the sermon title this morning is Facing the End of the World. And if we survive this sermon, then Carl is going to sing for us as we contemplate God's word for us this morning. Our lesson for this first Sunday in Advent, the first Sunday in a new church year, comes to you from the nightly news. Not really. The lesson is actually from the Gospel of Luke, but it could have come from the nightly news. Hear now the words of Jesus as he faced the final days of his life. Jesus said there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then Jesus told them a parable, saying, look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also when you see these things taking place, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard, so that your hearts are not weighed down with overconsumption and drunkenness and the worries of this life, lest that day catches you unexpectedly like a trap. The words of Jesus, the gospel of the Lord. Sound like good news? These are the signs of the end. The end times. And there is no doubt in my mind that we are facing the end of the world. Now keep in mind that these words spoken by Jesus were spoken 2,000 years ago. And in the 2,000 years that followed the words of Jesus, the human family has experienced world wars, atomic explosions, and radioactive meltdowns. The human family has been exposed to countless natural disasters, famines and plagues, global cooling, and global warming. 2,000 years later, the world is still here, and humans have greatly multiplied. But this morning, consistent with Christian preaching over the past 2,000 years, I'm talking to you about facing the end of the world. Now, first, we must understand the setting in which Jesus spoke these words. Jesus was in the last few days of his life. He was only a few days away from the cross. What is undeniable is that his world, the world that he had known for 33 years, was coming to an end. And the same could be said for his followers. The world as they knew it was about to disappear. Now, I have been reading the signs of the times. I pulled out my old Hal Lindsey books. I've been looking to biblical prophecy and the daily headlines, and this is the conclusion that I have come to. The world is not coming to an end, at least not anytime soon. Let me say that the world will not come to an end in your lifetime. I can say that with nearly 100% certainty. Now, there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be chaos in our government, if you have not noticed. There'll be fires and hurricanes. There'll be more shootings. Our oceans will be in peril, and the majestic animal species entrusted to our care will go extinct. But the world is not coming to an end. Jesus had just a few days to live. His world was about to come to an end. The Passover celebration that was being prepared in an upper room in Jerusalem would be his last Passover celebration. It would be his last supper with his friends. His world was about to come to an end. What about your world? If you had 5 days to live, what would you do? I am guessing that you would not go to Payless and buy green bananas. There'd be little need to put money away for a rainy day, little need to put money in your 401k. If you had only 5 days to live, how would you live? What would you do? How would you spend those precious last days? Would you taste the last drops of that vintage wine that you have been saving for a special occasion? More importantly, if you had 5 days to live, what words would you want to speak? And to whom? I would probably not want to spend a lot of time talking on the phone with my local Verizon rep located in New Delhi, India. Jesus was in the final days of his life. The world would continue to spin on its axis as he hung on the cross and died, but his world was about to come to an end. How would you spend your time? What would you say and do if you knew that you only had 5 days to live? Now, though it's very possible, it is highly unlikely that any of us here this morning only have 5 days to live. But consider this for a moment. As we move from Thanksgiving towards Christmas, do you have five more Christmases to celebrate? Perhaps. But how many more? The scarcity of days make each hour, each holiday more precious. The scarcity of days should give us pause to ask ourselves, how is it that I want to live? How will I choose to spend my time? What burdens will I continue to carry with me? What words do I need to speak? From whom should I seek forgiveness, and to whom should I speak words of forgiveness? Jesus had but a few days to live. He knew it. We do not have that certainty. Jesus said, be on guard. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with overconsumption and drunkenness and the worries of this life. And that day, do not let that day when the world ends for you, catch you unexpectedly. He had just a few days to live. This is in chapter 21 of Luke's gospel, which leads directly into chapter 22. And in that chapter, Jesus gathers his disciples, and it would be his last Passover celebration, the Last Supper with his friends. Soon he would be gone, and the tides would continue their march back and forth. The sun and the moon would dance across the sky to the horizon. The seasons would change, springtime to summer, summer to fall, fall to winter again. The earth would continue its orbit of the sun. But the world was about to end for Jesus, and the world as they knew it was about to end for the disciples. So what to do? Jesus took the bread and broke it. He gave it to them to eat, fighting back tears, I would imagine. He was human, after all. Hoping to keep composed, he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And then he took the cup. "This cup is my blood shed for you." My blood, the blood of the new covenant shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And they ate and they drank and they sang and they celebrated this religious holiday of Passover, not able to really comprehend that this would be their last Passover with Jesus. They did not realize that these moments would be their last moments with him, that he would soon be taken from them at the age of 33. They did not realize how late it was, how precious these moments were, how soon it would all be over. They did not realize, though perhaps maybe they should have realized. Jesus said, "Be on guard. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with overconsumptions and the worries of life, lest that day catches you unexpectedly like a trap." Thanksgiving has now given way to Advent. Christmas songs on the radio, Hallmark commercials, Christmas trees, and this afternoon a Christmas concert by our choir. Christmas is only 23 days away, and that means that 2018 will soon be in the books. To quote Steve Miller, "Time keeps on slipping, slipping, slipping into the future." Be on guard. Be on guard, Jesus says. No, the world is not ending anytime soon, but it's later than you think. It's later than you think, my friends. And if it does not seem that it's late for you, consider for a moment the journey of those around you, those you love. If you had 5 days to live, how would you live? If you had 5 days to love, how would you love? If you had 5 days to live, what words would you speak? It's later than you think. Now, when I spend time with people in the parish, I find that there are consistent human themes. One, we detest death. And we long for one more opportunity. One more opportunity to exchange tender words and stories with those who have gone before us. I just wish that I could have one more day with my mother or my father or my husband or my wife or my dear friend or my son or my daughter. But once that door closes, it never opens again, not in this life. Be on guard, Jesus says. Do not be consumed with overconsumption and the worries of life. Be on guard. It is later than you think. I've been with so many people at the end of their lives, but never once did someone say to me on their deathbed, "Pastor, I just wish I'd have spent one more day to spend at Boeing. I wish that I had worked a little more. Pastor, I just wish that I watched a little more reality TV. Be on guard. It's later than you think. Do not put off that special dinner or that dream vacation. Do not delay that act of kindness. Do not neglect to speak words of love, assuming, always assuming that there'll be another time, another opportunity, always assuming that your world is not coming to an end or that your loved one will always be there. Be on guard. Take notice. The times and the seasons of our lives are racing by, and we will never know when the next supper will be our last supper. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you, given for the forgiveness of sin. Do you see what Jesus was doing there? Jesus refused to die with hard feelings. Jesus refused to hold on to the sins of others and to carry bitterness with him to the cross. "I give you this bread and I forgive you. I give you this wine and I'm letting go of all that has come between us." And from the agony of the cross, less than 24 hours after that Last Supper, Jesus with his dying breath said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Be on guard. The world is not ending, but at any moment, yours could. The world is not ending, but at any moment, it could change in ways that you never imagined. Be on guard. Do not let that day catch you unexpectedly, unprepared, like a trap. Christmas, just around the corner. How many do you have left? Only God knows, but it's very likely that we have this one left. So perhaps this year we should not get caught up in overconsumption and the worries of life. Perhaps this year we might just sit down with a pen and a paper and write a letter, a love letter to each of our loved ones. Say the words that you want to say before the sand in the hourglass runs out. Say the words. Say the words that you wish you had said to those who left this world without hearing them. Now, is this good news or is this bad news? It's good news. It's not too late. It's a wake-up call. It's good news unless you were living under the illusion that your world was not ever coming to an end. And so, my friends, we have the opportunity to make this Christmas the best ever. Live it like it was your last. Savor every bite, treasure every hug. Let the carols touch your heart. See the lights like you've never seen them before. And gaze into the eyes of your lover or your child or your friend and speak tender words. This Christmas, give thanks to God for the gift of the Christmas child and give thanks to those who made your life worth living. The end of the world and the end of your world, you have no control over such things. But this day, this month, this Christmas is yours. Make it count.